we should really analyse where these organisations came from. If we were serious about stopping ISIS, then we should go and have a word with the Saudi Arabians and the Turks. Turks are in NATO, by the way. Their chaps are trained at Sandhurst, and say, oh, will you stop supporting ISIS, please? That might be a good place to start. But since we know for a fact the British and US Special Forces have been working with the Turkish army, with the Jordanian army, with the Saudis to arm and train these groups, we've got a picture of John McCain meeting al-Baghdadi 2 years ago. We've got training camps in Jordan where these groups, where the, and of course they've ended up with a massive amount of US weaponry from two sources. One, the stuff that was supplied to them under the table, some from Libya, and then of course the Iraqi army melted away to allow them to take over this territory. And the Iraqi army was armed and trained by, oh yes, the Americans. And so therefore what it looks like is that the Iraqi army leadership fled into Kurdistan and told their troops to withdraw, leaving their weaponry to ISIS. So, what do we think's going on here?
Okay, this is a very well-funded organisation. The evidence is coming out this week. The Iranian Interior Minister, Abdulreza Rahmani Fazli, has explained that most of the money comes from the manufacture of methamphetamine in a factory that they've taken over, which is being used to stimulate their soldiers as well as to sell as a fundraiser on the world markets. They're also, we're told, in regular contact with Mexican drug cartels.
Well, if that's what the Iranians are saying, I find that rather hard to believe.
That statement was from a former CIA officer.
Oh, exactly. That's what I'm saying. The CIA have been saying that the drug cartels that we're actually arming and training in Mexico are working with the Islamic extremists that we're actually arming and training in Syria. But in actual fact, the real money comes from things like the Saudi royal family. And as I've stressed to you before, British special forces have definitely been involved in training these people. Some people know exactly what I'm talking about. They may be listening to this show. The fact is that ultimately all of this needs police investigations tracing back to the banking system and back to senior politicians and senior Secret Service people in Britain and the US.
Now,
and those people really have got to recognise that after all of this ballyhoo about how horrible these people are, and they are pretty horrible, we've got to recognise that our own Secret Services have been absolutely complicit in setting all of this up. And therefore, they should take the rap.
Okay, looking back a few hundred years to something called the Crusades, a lot of people in the Middle East regularly talk about, and not so much over here, Israel as a crusader state, the idea that this is a sort of white people have moved into the area, trying to take it over, taking over with a focus on Jerusalem, of course. And I wonder what you think about this, because there seems to be a similarity to the Crusades in this, in that most of the people of faith, whether any of the Abrahamic faiths that live in that part of the world, just really want the problems to go away. They want to just get on with their lives. Before the Crusaders turned up, various faiths used to get on fine in that part of the world before the Crusaders arrived. And we've seen the same, haven't we? In 1947, when the State of Israel was set up, there's been problems since then. Before that, Jews and Christians and Muslims were living happily together in Jerusalem. It was a completely different setup. So is it a bit much for me to draw comparisons between the original Crusades, back when the people like the Templars went over there to leaving rivers of blood in these cities to take them over, so-called, for Christendom, and what's happening now?
I think that there was never a time when people lived together completely in peace, but there's been definite phases when things have got worse and situation for ordinary people have got worse. We're definitely living in one of those phases now. The situation in the Middle East is beyond parody in terms of its sin.
Well, it's been getting gradually worse, surely, since 1947. We had a particular step up in that in 1967,
another
for example.
Another particular setup in 2003 when we gratuitously smashed the state of Iraq to suit the Israeli national interest and the oil companies and all the other people involved.
Well, I suppose what I'm talking about here is a kind of the idea of having a kind of fake version of that religion. I don't think Muhammad is really in favour of the idea of converting people at the point of a barrel of a gun.
Let me answer you. The concept of a caliphate is a modern concept. There was a caliphate in the past, and it carried on as a kind of an institution until the Ottoman Empire, when the Ottoman Sultan claimed to be the caliph. Once the Sultan was deposed, he was no longer the caliph. But in any case, many people didn't. Lots of people didn't accept the concept of a caliphate. And I think that ISIS have been deliberately created by Western puppet masters, and that we're now talking MI6, CIA, to be a reactionary travesty of Islam. The whole Wahhabi regime in Saudi Arabia, the Wahhabis were brought to power by the British and then came to do a big oil deals with the US. And they are, in fact, an offshoot. They're a modern creation. The four schools of Sunni legalism, which are all considered to be compatible, the Wahhabis reject all of that. They want to go back to the Quran, which, in fact, actually cuts out the whole Sunni concept. So they're not even real Sunnis. They are extremists, modern extremists. And, of course, the creation of nasty Islam, where people's heads are cut off with penknives, supposedly in this video, a penknife is used to cut somebody's head off. Somebody should try that with a rabbit and realise how difficult it is. The video's quite possibly faked. Who would fake such a video and to what end? That's a real question. That you can't see that video online now, so it's impossible to get hold of it. So we're all just got to take it on trust that it does show what they say it shows. But we just don't know. When we know that in Benghazi they were supplying weaponry, but they claim not to be. The chemical weapons attack in Ghouta this time last year. All the evidence compiled by people like Simon Hirsch, the Pulitzer Prize-winning journalist, point the finger firmly at the rebels working with the Turks and the Saudis. The Turks and the Saudis are our allies. Yes, the Turks do training at Sandhurst. So do the Saudi army. And they were the ones behind the chemical weapons attack that killed so many people in Ghouta supposedly last year. So we are being played for fools. But I think the contradictions in the Western policy should strike even the stupidest person. So this time last year, we're told we've got to bomb Assad and bring ISIS to power in Iraq. And now, 180 degrees turn, we're going to support ISIS, but we're not going to have anything to do with Assad. It reminds me of National Hate Week in 1984, where they changed the people were supposed to be hating in the middle of National Hate Week. And this whole thing has gone way beyond any kind of control. And what we're dealing with here is runaway gangsterism in the secret services, and that definitely includes MI6.
But what about this idea, I come back to this idea of conversion at the point of the barrel of a gun?
Well, what if you actually look at the history of the original, there were no guns, but point number one. And the point is that the vast majority of people, when they were taken over by the Islamic forces, didn't force people to convert. They didn't want them to convert. What they said to them, there was a lot of persecution of different minorities. And when the Muslims took over, they said, as long as you're a Christian and Jewish, you're a people of the book, we don't want you to convert to Islam. You've already got your religions, but what you must do is pay a special tax, which will pay for us to be the military force which will control the situation. So when the Muslims were in control of Jerusalem, Christians and Jews were protected minorities. They didn't have the same rights as Muslims, but they certainly didn't try and convert them either. What actually happened is, as Islamic rule was established and the benefits of Islam were made clear to people, and not least, you know, social preferment and so on, because the Muslims were the ruling group, everybody wanted to convert to Islam because they wanted to join the bureaucracy, they wanted chances and opportunities for their children, and Islam was actually quite an attractive religion. So, in actual fact, the vast majority of people converted to Islam absolutely voluntarily.
It sounds to me
resistance from the original Muslims. We don't want all these Johnny Come Latelys joining our religion.
A much more successful way of winning over hearts and minds than we've seen with the British and the American army in Iraq, for example.
Well, don't forget that the British and the American army, regular armies, are going in there to create to deal with a mess that the secret services have already created. We have created this monster of international Islamic jihadism, and it was actually under the glorious reign of Margaret Thatcher and Ronald Reagan. And there will be people alive today who got medals and pensions and pats on the back for the fantastic job they did in setting up this international Islamic brigade to fight in Afghanistan and defeat the evil Russian communists. And then, of course, it all turns sour. And this is presented as blowback. Oh, what can you do? Osama bin Laden used to work with us and then he decided he was against us. I don't believe that for a minute. Most of these very extreme groups are being run by Western intelligence services, the Israelis and MI6 CIA. And of course, genuine liberation movements, Muslim-based liberation movements like Hamas and Hezbollah, they are the real target. In other words, people going about, there isn't just one kind of Islamic extremism. What you have got is genuine Islamist movements which have genuine support, and they are being undermined by extremist minorities being manipulated by the West.
Okay, what about the question of radicalised youth in Britain going over to fight for ISIS, for example?
We were told that the rebellion in Syria was by people in Syria who wanted more democracy, and then it turns out that there is British people are over there fighting with ISIS. Well, do you know how I think they got there? I think they were recruited by MI6 and inserted in there. And it's great, isn't it great, that we've got probably some, the accent that we've heard, it sounds like some West Indian chap, probably from parents from Jamaica or St. Kitts, Nevis, and he converted to Islam, and then suddenly he's in Iraq and Syria, killing people with penknives. This smells to me of MI6 psychological warfare techniques. And MI6 in particular were the lead agency on Operation Cyclone. So it's not just something that the nasty Israelis and the nasty Americans do. The British, very much involved in working with these groups over the years. The Libyan Islamic Fighting Group, for example, who have got a long track record of working with MI6. And that's why Britain was called, London was called Londonistan at one stage by the French police force. Because during that period, we, MI6, they recruited all of the most extreme jihadis from all over the Middle East, from Libya, from Algeria, and they all set them up in London, which is why they're still here. So, and then, of course, these groups then recruit young boys, and then they end up in Syria.
So if, MI5, MI6 are creeping around in Bristol trying to recruit people with these kinds of activities, what should people do if they come across this kind of thing?
As I said at Birmingham Central Mosque a few years ago, Tony, they should talk to local police officers they know and trust, have nothing to do with the intelligence services, because they are, in fact, the manipulators behind the scenes of all of these groups, in my view.
Made in Bristol. This is BCFM 93.2.